It is a transcendent Tuesday morning, 26 minutes after the hour. That's 9 a.m. here, the central time zone of Central Texas. I'm Jim Park in Texas. Sharon Burgess with us from Oklahoma, and joining us from Garden Valley, Texas this morning is Dr. Don Clark. Don, a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a really good friend of this. We've learned so much from Don over the years about the biblical story of creation and Genesis, and in an in-depth analysis of the genealogies. It's just amazing how much information is packed into that. But recently we've been turning to Don because of his biochemistry experience, because he's been part of clinical studies and was involved in the pharmaceutical industry for years, and he knows whereof he speaks. Don, there's a whole bunch of stuff popping on COVID all around the world, and it seems like we're all seeing similar results in terms of infections and disease and death rates going down, but quite different responses around the world. How does science account for that? Who's informed by science and who's not?
Well, the politicians certainly aren't informed by science, or at least they're refusing to acknowledge the true science behind it. And even our supposed scientist bureaucrats that we have in this country now, they aren't even following the science, because their mandates, or at least the things that are now coming out of this, well, not now, since this the whole thing began, from the CDC and our health officials and all of these medical associations have gotten it wrong and continue to get it wrong. And even as we go into, for example, this new school year, and the CDC comes out with a mandate that says, we should mask the kids again. This is the way to go, masking the kids. And just before they said that, a study came out looking at the effects on grade schoolers with regard to masks and no masks. And they said that, you know what, we can't see a statistical difference in infection rate whether you wear a mask or not. And the conclusion from that study, of course, the authors didn't conclude it, but the conclusion that one gathers from the study, as well as anecdotal information from around the country, is that masks don't work. And as a matter of fact, masks are not only do they not work, but they cause our children great harm, both psychological problems and as well as medical problems. Because kids, you know, all of us, if you wear a mask, you're going to be touching it. It's just our nature. I'm a little bit more trained in microbes because of my background. Mm-hmm. But the normal person is going to touch the mask.
Yes.
And when you touched the mask, you've invalidated the mask, okay? Mm-hmm. You have germs, bacteria, fungus on your skin, and stuff up your nose, and you're breathing all of this, and you're putting bacteria. Well, the kids are worse, right? Because they're kids, and you, and so even the nurses in schools, the school nurses, you know, they were shouting last year and earlier this year against the mask mandates, because they were seeing kids, numerous kids, in their clinic, with all kinds of infections due to wearing these masks. So, masks for kids, even masks for adults, just doesn't make any sense.
Well, this was a study that was done in Georgia late last year, and it involved 90,000 elementary school students. And the finding was, as you reported, that the masks didn't seem to make any difference. But part of the problem is that apparently no research has been done that isolates the effect of the masks, because in schools there are a number of layers of protections going on, protocols, including special ventilation systems, social distancing, masks, and separating the effect of one from the other has not been done until this study, which concentrated, it isolated the effect of the masks and basically said doesn't make any difference.
Yeah, it doesn't make any difference. Social distancing within a classroom doesn't make any difference. Other studies with even adults show that that is ineffective. Mm-hmm. Shields are absolutely if you're sneezing and coughing, okay, a shield will protect the droplets. Same with a mask, but other than that, having a clerk behind a shield doesn't make any sense. So all of these things, and you're right, there were all the studies that were done prior to apparently this study, they were just showing that, okay, we're doing a study, we're looking at all of these things, but there were no controls. There were no control groups. So they just, came out and said that, you see how effective masks are? The kids aren't getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the kids don't get sick anyway.
Well, one of the conclusions was here that the speculation, just open the windows. That's all you need to do. Open the windows.
Get some fresh air circulation going in the classroom.
But how would you structure a clinical test that isolate the effect of masks out in the general population? I don't understand how that's even possible.
Yeah, well, you'd have to have multiple school districts, and you'd have to have, for example, one whole school says, okay, we're going to all mask up, and the other school in the same general area saying, we're not going to mask up, and you do the comparison, and you would find out whether, mask work or not. Now, you would think that 90,000 is a good clinical population, and it, for most clinical studies that have, any benefit to them, they're trying to show a benefit, don't even go, that number, which means if you broke it in half, you're looking at, 45,000 people, or in this case, students in each group, and then you do your analysis and you come out with, this isn't statistically significant. And one of the conclusions from that particular article was, we just need larger groups in order to show effects. Well, if you need a larger group to show an effect, it isn't very effective. And so, therefore, why are we putting our kids through this?
So, Do we blame bureaucrats or scientists? Certainly scientists know how to do this. I mean, you're indicating there's a way it can be done. How come it hasn't been done?
Because in order to do those types of studies, just take an academic scientist, for example, and I was one for a little bit before I got into industry. In order to do a research study, you need to be funded. And if you're not funded, guess what happens to your research?
Mm-hmm. Well, I understand that, but the CDC was given millions and millions of dollars to do research, none of which has been spent on studying the efficacy of masks.
Yes. Why is that?
Good question. Because it doesn't serve their purposes, apparently.
With that organization now, especially the way it's structured, with having one or two people controlling all of this billions of dollars worth of funds, this is crazy, because they get to fund what they want to fund. In this case, was the engineering of a coronavirus to be more toxic in humans. And they're not being brought to justice, which is really, really crazy. So the government is not working for us.
Well, I have to question putting a college professor from Massachusetts in charge of the CDC. I don't understand that decision. Although she is a woman, I guess she's got diversity going for her. That seems to be I don't want to get too political here, but that seems to be the most important qualification of the managers in government, is that they're diverse rather than competent. That requirement is way down the list.
Well, if you're the head of a large department, in this case, you're the head of a large organization, you need to have some people skills and you need to have some managerial skills, and you may not necessarily, have the scientific skills in order to do the type of researches that you're farming out. But you should certainly have people under you with those types of skills who can advise and say, okay, this type of research makes sense and this type doesn't. And then, of course, you've got, you know, you've got Congress and to help direct what type of research the government should be involved with. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the government shouldn't be involved with research at all. You know, it's if you have research, let the states fund their the state school and the community. As we, you know, make these types of decisions and taking it further and further away from the people, you get poorer and poorer results, as we've seen over the past, well, it's come to light over the past year and a half, but it has been going on for a long time, obviously, because these types of decisions are taken away from, you know, your local, the local population. And put into demagogues, and they are trying to make decisions that they think are the best, and it may not necessarily be the best for a society as a whole.
Now, there are governments around the world with similar experience with COVID who are reaching different conclusions about how you fight this thing and how dangerous it really is. Denmark included. What have we just learned about Denmark? Sharon, you were involved with that?
Well, even as far back as February, Denmark was preparing a Corona Pass, which was a vaccine passport. But I think it was just last week, Denmark, government of Denmark is basically going to lift all the restrictions. No passport required, no vaccine passport. Social distancing. Yeah. All that stuff will be just totally lifted
out the window, even though their cases are going up just with the Delta variant, just like everybody else's. They seem to have a different approach to this. Don, what do you know of their approach, and does it make sense?
Well, it makes a whole lot of sense because they're finding out that, you know, they told us that the vaccine would prevent disease. And what we're finding out is that it actually doesn't prevent disease. They're finding out that people with who have been totally vaccinated are getting COVID. And we're finding it out in this country, but it's just not making news because, well, you know, we don't want to disrupt the narrative that the vaccines don't work. And so with that in mind, then they say, well, you know, we can't mandate vaccines because they're not working, and to do so would be unethical. And so therefore, they have completely taken away the restrictions, taken away the mandates or any type of suggestion of a mandate that people get vaccinated, because they realized that they don't have a leg to stand on in court, for example, if somebody happened to sue who actually got the vaccine and got sick, then in their court system, which hopefully is still intact, unlike our court system, they could sue, for example, if a business was saying, okay, you have to get a vaccine in order to be to work here. The individual can sue them, and it would be held up in court, and so therefore, you know, the company would have no leg to stand on, unlike what's happening here.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sharon.
I was just going to say, what I'm noticing, you're commenting about the legal aspects of being able to sue for damages, and yet I'm wondering how many Americans realize that when they're signing the waiver that they have to sign in order to get the shot, that they're signing away all their rights. The vaccine manager, the vaccine company is not liable for damages. And yet in some of these other countries, specifically Denmark, one of the things they were commenting about was a lot of these places with the mandates in place had no idea what the legal ramifications would be. So the question is, you know, what is the purpose of that waiver in this country and not in another, if not for truly like control over the individuals involved?
Well, yeah, I think you hit on the reason here, at least in this country. It's more about control. It has nothing to do with the science. And as we go on with these vaccines, we're learning that they're becoming less and less effective against all of these variants that are popping up. And so it's a race between how many people we can get vaccinated, and then the government's going to, as they have already suggested, that, oh, you're going to need a booster. And every 6 months, you're going to need a booster, which puts you more and more at risk for adverse event effects mm-hmm. from the vaccine. And we're going to see massive injury due to people because of the vaccine. And guess what? You can't sue, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. because you signed a waiver without being properly informed, which is illegal. You know, it's a travesty. This whole thing is a travesty. And, you know, people just have to get their information and make a very informed decision as to whether or not they're going to get the vaccine. But at this point, to say that the vaccine is will prevent you from get the infection is absolutely false, because we know that it's not. And to say that the vaccine is safe, it is not, based on the adverse, even the meager adverse reporting that was done by a passive system here in our government with the vaccine adverse event reporting system. You know, there's thousands of people, tens of thousands of people that have died for after they have gotten the vaccine. And, you know, you can argue that, oh, they would have died anyway, which is hogwash, because a lot of these people, some of them even quite young, have died after getting the vaccine. And we know now that young folks are getting myocarditis, which is inflammation of the heart, you have damage to your heart, which you now have to live with the rest of your life if it doesn't kill you at that time. So mm-hmm. just imagine getting a booster on top of that and getting more of that type of inflammation, not only heart inflammation, but inflammation throughout your whole entire system, because the virus, the vaccine has been shown to get to every part of your body, especially the endothelial cells of your blood vessels and your micro blood vessels, causing inflammation and blood clots and other things. And, you know, you're going to be living with this, and eventually you're going, you know, the pressure is going to be so much that not everybody is going to be able to survive from these booster shots.
It looks like the government of Denmark has something going for it here, and that its primary purpose seems to be to prevent hospital overload. And they're noting that with the increase in the number of cases, that the hospital load is not increasing. The number of deaths is not increasing. This is not, in effect, a serious enough disease to warrant these restrictions. So let's not do that. They could teach the world a lesson, I think.
Well, they can teach the world a lesson, and we should be listening, you know, to that type of thinking here in this country, instead of continuing with the panic. This virus, if you look at its history now over the past year and a half, was no more severe than a regular, you know, serious flu virus, mm-hmm. which also kills the elderly, by the way, you know, has very little effect on younger folks. But yet, why are we vaccinating younger people? It makes absolutely no sense. There might have been, you know, some sense that, okay, let's protect our elderly population, but to go beyond that was insanity. And I think we've got, you know, something amiss in our system.
Well, when people start to drop off, maybe we'll learn the lesson. because there is, it sounds to me like they're willing to risk a huge chunk of the population, that is lives, in return for dollars and power. This is simply a different kind of warfare.
Oh, it is very much, and it's interesting because it's an internal warfare within our own, within our own individual countries, and are our politicians and court systems going to do the right thing, or are they going to continue with this? And if they continue with this, then the only conclusion that you can come up with is that they're in collusion with the with the vaccine manufacturers and big business and big government going hand in hand. So we've got something bigger going on than just a virus.
Well, the idea here then seems to me to be short-term interests versus long-term interests, and they're opting for the short-term, because if they're willing to kill off half the population, there go markets all around the world. What do they have left? I mean, it seems like a plan to bankruptcy. Long-term.
One would think, from a financial point of view, from, a healthy growing economy requires young folks and an increase in population. But if you're trying to control, people, control the system, then you want less people to control, because you can control less people than you can massive amount of people. So, the idea is less people are better, but from an economic point of view, less people are worse. And yes, you're going to have many, many bankruptcies. Unfortunately, the people that are going to go bankrupt are your local small businesses than the big businesses that have been reaping unheard of profits.
So then the effect, the net effect, eliminating competition.
It eliminates competition. That's right. Mm-hmm. And so you have the elite class, the big corporate class, and then you have the rest of us peons out of that, that comes from this type of thing. And we've seen the loss of so many small businesses over the past year and a half. Some smaller businesses are beginning to come back, but if you continue to lock down, which is continue to spread this pandemic rumor and continue to spur fear in people, then they're going to be shut down as well, and what you're left with are just the big mega corporations that feed on the rest of us, and we're going to be at their mercy and big government's mercy.
Well, it may just be the people have had enough. There are massive riots now, and there is some violence in Australia where people are up in arms about the lockdowns. Same thing in France.
Europe.
It may be enough.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. France is just, there's hundreds of thousands of people protesting.
Yeah.
And hopefully, that catches on. I mean, hopefully we just don't sit on our, we don't just take this and just say, okay, well, if I got to get a booster, I got to get a booster. No, we start waking up and doing the same thing. And there has been some protest in some of the cities now, I see, with regard to, the mandates and the lockdowns. And it's going to be interesting this school year, because I know a lot of parents are really upset with all of this masking. And
definitely.
And so, we're going to have hopefully a lot of pushback on all of these.
You mentioned booster shots, and one article I was reading said there are 4,000 variants of this. Would anyone live long enough to get 4,000 booster shots? They won't.
Well, even the booster shot, let's talk a little bit about the booster shot, because the booster shot, what is the booster shot? It's just the same thing that you just got. In other words, you're getting the same spike protein that, or at least the mRNA information. They're not changing the mRNA, for the various variants. It's going to be the same one. And so that's going to cause, more inflammation within your body without any additional protection whatsoever.
Let me ask a quick question here, because I have heard, and I wish I could pinpoint the article here, but it basically said with the second shot of a Pfizer or Moderna vaccine, they have found that there is no increase in antibodies. In other words, the second shot does nothing.
Well, and that probably would be the case.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's face it, natural immunity is the best, and anybody telling you otherwise is ridiculous. The data
that's
is
starting
clearly,
to come out, starting to come out now. Yes,
clearly showing that even the Israeli study, which showed that almost 40% of their fully vaccinated people were getting infected.
Mm-hmm.
Very few people that have had COVID were getting affected, like less than 1%. And of course, people who are unvaccinated were being, infected. So the best immunity, the best thing we could have done is treat this as a normal flu virus. And if you get it, great. Treat whatever symptoms you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have difficulty breathing and all this other stuff, well, there are other treatments out there to help with that. But once you've had the actual virus, which has many different parts than just the spike protein, you have far greater protection than if you're just getting the spike protein, because you've got other proteins within this virus, and other things that are that you're getting protection with. Plus, you have killer T cells and T memory cells that are you're being, that help protect you, ultimately protect you from all of these variants.
Mm-hmm.
And as we talked, I think it was last time, that the vaccinated folks are driving the variants. It's not the unvaccinated folks mm-hmm. that are driving the variants. It's the vaccinated folks. And if you have had COVID, you've already, you're not getting sick for the most part. And so, it's the vaccinated folks that are driving the variants, because the vaccine isn't working 100%. And so you're having you're pushing these variants out. Yes.
Well, it's clearly a story in progress, and some other things are going to have to happen. And somehow the actual science needs to get the upper hand here and be released. And that's going to come from the private sector somewhere. Either it starts with a protest from ordinary citizens who have read and understand what's happening, and then maybe they're getting behind a scientific organization. I'm not sure who it would be, or maybe an election. Maybe that could be the turning point. I don't know. Again, I hate to get political, but the two are inextricably interwoven here, science and politics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not a healthy thing, as we're seeing. Don, thanks so much. Every week, and I know hate to wear people out on the COVID topic, but I don't think we are, because every week you brought us something new and reinforced some things that need to be reinforced. And we just want to encourage people out there to be encouraged and understand there's somebody else in charge of this whole thing, and he's working mm-hmm. for you. And there's reason for the hope you have. So,
definitely.
Don, again, a member of the board at Creation Moments. You might want to check their website out, creationmoments.com. And there you will find a library, a rich resource of information, scientific information that supports the biblical story of creation. So we recommend that wholeheartedly, creationmoments.com. Don, we'll see you next week.
All right. Very good. Well, thank everybody, you. Stay healthy.
Hang in there, everybody.
Yes, sir. Thanks much.